The series of shiurim, at least once a week, I want to focus on different types of heating ways on Shabbat Kodesh, on Shabbos. And we will begin before with a very important introduction. This introduction will take us through these series of shiurim. Every week will basically be the same thing. We are talking now, so that we are understanding, about Shabbos morning, taking Yovesh, not Lach, which is non-liquid items. We're talking about non-liquid items out of the refrigerator and placing them on the hot plate slash blech. That is the discussion for today. So, we know that the Issur D'oraisa of cooking on Shabbos is cooking an item that is not yet cooked. So, we already could take that out of the realm that there is no Issur D'oraisa being committed here, because we are assuming that the items that are being put on the blech are fully cooked before Shabbos. Ein bishel achar bishel. Good. Understood. We are worried about two major issues, which we'll discuss, but I just want to put them into the category box so that you understand what we're talking about. One of them is called nirakim avashel. Nirakim avashel, the Gemara discusses, means that it looks like a cooking process. Something that looks like cooking might be cooking. Bottom line. So therefore, even if my item was fully cooked, for example, and I have an oven and I put it on keep warm, because anybody who passes that oven would think that it's being cooked, they have no idea that you put it on 150, that's considered to be like cooking. And therefore, one responsibly would agree that that is called nirakim mevashel. That is an issur to mimid derabanan. And that's going to be the crux of the different types of heating utensils, objects that we talk about. We're going to discuss the hot plate, we're going to discuss the crock pot, we're going to discuss the warming drawer, and finally we'll discuss something called the kedera blech, which you might not know as well. That is an item that holds water in it. It looks like a cookie sheet that holds water in it. The second isser is the isser of Gruf of the Ketuma, which is the isser of, again this all comes from the Gemara, the isser of stoking the coals, of the ability, the potential for you to make the flame higher or lower depending on what's going on with the item. So you have guests coming over and you thought they were coming at 12 and they show up at 11 and your food's not ready yet, so you make the flame higher. That of course is certainly an isser in itself, but the Guf for Ketuma aspect itself is a derabanan, but it could lead to, of course, a deraisa. These are derabanans, obviously, that were set there that could lead to deraisas. So, if in our introduction we were to take the hot plate itself, do you think that they violate any of these two items? Is it nirakim mevashel? Does it look like cooking? And can you adjust the flame? This is the question part. The answer is yes. What do you think? Why? Let's start with Guf for Ketuma. Why is it not a problem of Guf for Ketuma, adjustable flame? What?
Can't adjust the heat.
Can't adjust the heat. Correct. On the most modern and newest hot plates, they have invented a mode which is no mode. There is no. It happens to be that a certain yeshiva that I happen to know, the tzaddik of the mashgiach, who is in charge of the kitchen, he has a serious problem with that yeshiva's hot plate. That is an industrial warming utensil. And utensil is probably not the right word. And it actually has a knob on it. So the protocol would be to take the knob off before Shabbos, to which I was informed by the tzaddik's operations manager that the knob has been lost many, many times. So, and then maybe putting tape over it would be the same thing. So, the hot plate seems to be now the best of the best, because there's nothing to adjust there. The next question is it nirakim avashel? Does it look like cooking? What do you think?
No.
No. Okay, I'll ask a simple question. Can you cook on a hot plate?
No.
Right, unfortunately the answer is yes. Unfortunately, whether you know it or not, I didn't know this until a few years ago. We have a friend who went away for summer vacation to a tzimmer in Israel, a log cabin, if you will. And they didn't trust the kashrus of the person who said that the log cabin was kosher, so they didn't want to use any of their things. They just brought a hot plate And she said that she made schnitzel on the hot plate. Raw chicken on the hot plate. If you cook it long enough, it cooks. Uh-oh. Is that a problem? So why is that problematic? Nirak mevashel means that the naked eye would approach it and say, this looks like cooking. This doesn't look like cooking to me. I don't think it does. Right?
It takes so long that it wouldn't be...
Correct. Right? Okay.
Unless you're staring. If nobody's staring at it for like an hour.
Correct. Good. So now the understanding of this introduction, let's look at some of the sources here. We're on the hot plate in halacha before the other side, not the side that has a picture on it. Can you use this machshirim shodul chamein v'lo bashel? For example, look at the Hebrew English hot plit, to put in a hot place, or a hot tea, or shulchan mechamin beidim, a steam table. What's the halacha? Tshuva. Al chalt plata chashmalit im iav shalit bashel sham az muter lahamid kedere chama im ein sham ella. But Moshe not only allows it, but says, even if there's a knob on it that only has one setting, that's also okay, and an on and off button. That's fine. The imye stay midot usher. Very important. So again, this is the way the old hot plates were made. If in fact it has two dials on it, that's a problem. Meaning if you could adjust it to low, medium, high, but Moshe has a problem with that. Excuse me, Bahu, Shalo Yiye Ba'ofen Hatmana, Sha'az Yiye Hatmana, Bedabar Hamosif Hevel Vasser. We have to be careful that it's not Hatmana. Another issue, of course, on Shabbos, we're talking about cooking, and that is how insulated the item will be. So here he's talking clearly not about the hot plate, but about something else, like these steam tables. This is not so popular today, but these steam tables were. Look like actually a table. This is probably the best example. Is basically it's a table and it has drawers in it, right? This is not going to be similar, I hope, we'll see, to the warming drawer because it actually insulated the item. Part of it was insulating the item, and that itself would be also. So that's not really our case.
Warming drawer is also?
I didn't say that. You said that. You will have to wait until week number, I don't know, 2 or 3 when we discuss it. The warming drawer does not violate. Well, let's just discuss it quickly, what you guys think. Let's start. Is it nearer to Mevashel?
No.
Why not?
Just away. Can't see it.
Oh. Where is your, do you have a warming drawer in your house?
Yeah.
Where is it?
Under the oven.
Oh! I set you up for that. It's under the oven. So, my dear friend, what is the difference between the warming drawer and the oven? If the food is in the oven, it's nearer to Mevashel. Why is it not nearer to Mevashel if it's in a drawer underneath it?
Like, it looks like a random.
So fancy schmancy, rich, yeah. The difference between both of you. The rich Woodmere boy, obviously, does not have it by his oven because that's posnished. He has it in a separate section. That actually is a unique difference. Again, it's not for this evening, but there Rabbi Willig says that there is a difference between the two. If it's attached to the oven, maybe it's nearer to Mevashel.
But it's closed, it doesn't even count.
It doesn't have to do with anything. You know there's food in there. I see you, that again, tomorrow you'll get a shiur from Rav Goldberg about Marasayan. So Marasayan and Gedevas Das. And so the Marasayan here is that a person is going ahead and taking food out of the refrigerator. And where is he putting it? He's putting it in a drawer. But I see the drawer that's by the refrigerator. It's by the oven. Possibly. We'll discuss. You have to wait for the next shiur or two. Yes? No, thank you. Excellent. The second question is, it's not nearer to Mevashel, right? It's not nearer to Mevashel because everybody knows what that item is. That item is called a warming drawer. Sorry, first word, warming. That's what it's used for. In fact, in my home, I didn't even know this. It's kind of funny. When we lived in Teaneck, Bergenfield, we had a warming drawer on the bottom of our oven. And this was funny because when we moved in, the lady said that the oven was spanking new. She said, I only used it once for Christmas dinner. Obviously, that once equaled koshering it. But there was a feature on it that was a drawer. And you could turn the drawer and had different knobs, which is a little bit maybe problematic. We'll see. Again, when we get to the warming drawer. In any case, halacha l'maisa, the warming drawer we'll see, in my opinion, not everybody's opinion, is probably not going to be problematic because of the fact that it's not Mirror Gavashel, and potentially, with one which is a little bit different, we'll have to understand about changing the knobs itself. So Rav Moshe Feinstein, in concluding his tshuva, says the al shulchan achimum beidim kedoma she'efsu vidvashel sham v'imkein v'imkein derech bishul. So that might be usher itself, atman of the azazer, right? Okay, so I don't care chas v'sholom. But today's shiur is about hot plates. He had a problem with these drawer, not drawer. He's not talking about this, steam tables. It's a whole different entity, not for today. So source number one, Rav Moshe Feinstein allowed the hot plate. Done. Number two, the Tzitzel Eliezer. We're on the other. Oh no, you don't have the other side, probably. The other side. You're on the other side. So, yeah. I don't know why the other side didn't copy, but here. Thank you all. The Tzitzel Eliezer says source number two. Let's say Tzitzel Eliezer Chelik Ches Simon Chavev. Very important for us to remember who everybody is. Tzitzel Eliezer. If we haven't quoted him yet, Rav Eliezer Waldenberg, the great posek in Shari Tzedek Hospital, as well as a unbelievable Goyin Adir, as we quoted today, a Talmud Chacham Muvak, who had, over 24 tshuvas, the Tzitzel Eliezer, passed away only about 10 years ago, but was a Goyin Adir. And what was so special about him, in my humble opinion, is that he didn't care what people thought in terms of his tshuvas. His tshuva was very, very pro Eretz Yisrael. He's a tshuva on, he has a tshuva, he's a sefer on Hilchos Medina, so he really has the gamut of abundus in his tshuvas. Here the Tzitzel Eliezer was asked the same question, ve'eino nirin chutz achiyot v'ta mitzad zeh v'gam yi'afshar l'hamit o l'hagdil achom. Nowadays, hot plates, you can't adjust the temperature. Matov manoim, perfect. Vim hachnasat hateka v'hotzir mafsik, fine. All you have is the thing that goes into the wall. So that's not an on and off switch. We're not afraid that you're going to go ahead and take it out. We don't say that. V'nei b'davazer b'shelos t'chuv yisazach yaskil avdi, he quotes, in chelik hei, v'ala de'ein v'ha'ala de'ein dinam kiguf v'ketumah. You're not going to stoke the coals because the item is plugged into the wall, right? One could taina that is gufa ketuma. Why? Because if something's burning on it, I'll just take the plug and take it out because it doesn't have any temperatures. Maybe, right? He says no. That's not the same. V'zekvar hora zekin rabba shel Yerushalayim hagoyin rasi pesach frank b'tshuva shenitpas b'yeruchon kol Torah in one of the Torah journals many, many years ago, Tavshim Mechef Gimel. The Yesh lo zed din gufu katuma ve'ein tzarech lufos im ala plata kei lahafzik ben kadeira la plata bios de'ein efshorit lahakdir lahakdir et koch achom ve'lo shayach chito klau. You're not going to shut it off. Ve'lo ichpat ma de'ein bo maisa lahachriya v'ayin sham. So he said that Subez Lechvank already wrote lahalacha that it does have a din of gufu katuma. And it doesn't have to be whether or not it has an adjustable flame or not. The fact that you can't shut it off and turn it on so easily could be a problem. Behind the This is called the Shabbos hot plate. I've never seen this. Maybe I'm wrong. Nobody ever uses this during the week. And if you are, you're using it to keep things warm. Even that a reason? Aval lo ad kedei chach levash lebamish. Maybe people do use it, but it's to warm things. Nobody ever cooks something on top of it, except those people that I told you about. Yeah. Why?
I knew those.
I didn't tell you this.
Right. But when you wanted to see if it cooks.
Oh, and it did.
Hot of noodles and water.
And
it took him 14 hours to cook it.
But it did. So that's what you guys said before. That's not considered to be regular cooking. V'chein v'chol hayoter efshar lahader litlot bo makom hateka ha. So he says you want to fulfill the shita of the Rasi Pesach Frank. So I don't know people to do this. I don't do this personally. He says put in the wall the plug, and on the plug put a piece of tape that says Shabbos Kodesh. I will remind you to take it out. That's the same thing, by the way, when we'll discuss the crock pot. So all crock pots have the dial, so you're supposed to really cover the dial either with a piece of tape or with the tinfoil or something like that. So it's not available for you to forget and take the plug out, or to adjust it. And therefore, b'zot lamadati, ein l'lmod meha'omer kol heter b'nogel le'etzem ha'shimush ha'plata chashmali b'shabbos, mikach ha'sheila ha'acheret, ha'chumra she'yishna b'zeh, b'mesh ha'yisraelim, ovdim b'shabbos Tanakh HaKodah HaChashmalei. He says something else. And don't tell me it's Aser because of another thing which he has many, many chewers on in Eretz Yisrael, that by you plugging it in, you're causing people to work in the electric companies. The Israelis, there are Jews and non-Jews alike, but Jews as well, and the more electricity used on Shabbos, the more they have to work. I don't know this to be 100% true, but there are Haredim on Shabbos who use generators. Because they don't want to use the electricity of the Tzionim, because the Tzionim are using it, being Michal Shabbos, by helping us have electricity on Shabbos. Yes, sir?
What does that mean they're helping? How do you work in a factory like that? What job do you do?
No, they're in the electric company. They work for the electric company. The electric company has to be manned 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. On Shabbos, if electricity goes out, what happens? So let's say it's as easy as turning on a switch, so the Jew does it for you. That's a merely Israel.
But the anyway, they're not adding really to the switches he's going to be making just by using electricity.
What do you mean?
Well, why is he going to have to flip more switches because this guy is using lights?
No.
I don't really know how the power things work. I assume.
Right. So the understanding is, this is what my understanding is, a very, very pathetic understanding of electricity, is that in fact there is pu'ulot, there is actions that they have to do in the electric company. That are Machal Shabbos. The heter that's given by many poskim, I think, in Sicilia's there as well, was that this work is being done for emergency situations like hospitals that need electricity and other places like that. And therefore, we could just write on that they have to be there for that.
So
I'm not sure.
What do hospitals get from that place? We went to visit this year, we saw that.
Somit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In Israel. Don't they add.
I'll answer your question a second.
Sometimes in the summer, at least this happened. Tashman the last week through there where it asked. They shut off like power in every town for 2 minutes. Apparently they don't have power in Israel. They don't have the entire Israel.
Okay.
So someone's doing that.
Correct. That's exactly what I'm saying. On Shabbos, if your electricity went out, so who's turning it on? Maybe a guy. Probably not, a Jew. So can you get Hanukkah from that? Imagine this following situation. I think I told you the story maybe once. I was a horrible, horrible story, but it once happened to me. I was with my friends on a Shabbaton and staying by somebody's house. This is YU time, right? After my year in Israel. And we came to the house on Friday night and the horrible guest that we were staying at did not turn on the air conditioning in the middle of the summer. And there's no air conditioning in this room. It's like separate units. What are you going to do? The netbook about is like you see the thermostat there and you see the little button that says on and off. I mean, all you need to do is turn it on. Nope. My little size. Well, unfortunately, Malo Sois led to one of the people in the room, nice, firm guy, YU Bacher, saying, "My name is Malo Sois. We're turning it on, baby." And he proceeded to play a game where he threw somebody against the wall, and finally the thing went on. So, halacha l'maisa, a Torah observant Jew must leave that room and sleep somewhere else because he was receiving direct benefit from a Jew turning on, it's not called klaf, which I out in my opinion, and that would be usur. So the tzaddik, art school book tzaddik, obviously slept in the room because it was hot outside. But that would be usher. Okay, so he's just pointing it out. That's not for our discussion. So Eliezer seems to allow it. So, then comes the chiddush gadol v'nifla ad ma'oid, and with this chiddush of Rishon Zalman Arbach, it's hard to move anywhere, and it's hard to just listen to what he says. So in Shmir Shabbos Kilchusa, my favorite of the Shabbos compendiums that have been brought out. I already spoke to you about some of the other ones. And it goes like this. Plata chashmalit, hamiyuchad l'shabbos. He calls it a chulin plata, funny. Hamiyuda l'shmo alachom amachal, v'ein rogil l'vasha aleha, v'gam iyosha l'hagdil, admitat achom shalom, ein otanet kisuf nosaf, umutu l'shaot aleha ochel, mi'er shabbos, v'af mutu l'hachzir aleha k'dera. Black and white, mutter. Take it out of the refrigerator, use it Friday night, doesn't matter, it's mutter. I'm talking about, again, cold food that is yavish. He then has a if and or, based on the footnote that I will read you now.
Shamati, something very important about Shmir Shabbos Kochel Rav Neuwirth, who also passed away just a few years ago. He sat with Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach on so many, most of the stuff are Pesachim Rav Shlomo Zalman. So that's why it's such an amazing sefer.
What about
Somed? Oh, what did you want to say? Somed is just an institute that allows.
You said the electric companies work because of the hospital.
Yeah.
They have all the stuff.
They have some stuff that they use Somed for, but the general electricity of the place, they have generators too, obviously, if God forbid something happens, but the general electricity place is totally.
Why don't they just use generators on Shabbos?
It's not practical. Generators, you know, take gas, which is very expensive, and hours and hours, it wouldn't last. It's dangerous for that amount of time. Generators generally for a few hours. Shemati me'agoyim Rosh Hashanah zamanar rechlika imoy b'shabbos plata. So he wasn't a fan of it. The efshut the plata chashmalei b'yuchah b'shabbos doime lahai that it's dome. It's similar to types of cooking devices that he found. People understood what that meant. So he said that he found the Moroccans cook vegetables and other things on platos, and this created a very, very serious problem. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was against the plata, because why? Because he said that it is a cooking device. Look at the Moroccans. So many have argued, I'm not Moroccan, my mother's not Moroccan, my father's not Moroccan, it's not a problem.
I'm Moroccan.
I'm sorry, I apologize. So, and other people argued and said, you know what? Lamaisa, it doesn't happen. Meaning, we don't. As long as we don't cook with this, how can you tell me it sits usher? And therefore, there are many, many poskim who say that this is totally mutter. However, to be machmir, and maybe you've seen this, many people take Rosh Shlomo Zalman's words very seriously, and they've avoided the problem through putting a kedera on top of the plata. What's a kedera? So in this case, it's an upside down pan or a pot or something where clearly Rosh Shlomo Zalman is only worried about Nirukim Mevashel. He doesn't say anything about Gufa Keduma. He says, I think it's Nirukim Mevashel, because somebody will walk in and go, oh, you must be cooking on it like the Moroccans do. So if you turned over a pan or something of the like,
tinfoil
wouldn't work. Wouldn't be enough. You would need like
upside down tinfoil.
Yeah, exactly, like a cookie sheet.
Yeah.
So that's what people do, and that would alleviate the problem that Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach had. Many argue that it was one shita. We saw other shitos. Rav Moshe was for it. This is the best way to cook on Shabbos. I start with this purposely, as opposed to the other ones. All the other ones would be a lot more problematic. Again, I admit, intellectually honest, Rav Shlomo Zalman had a problem with this, and there are some people who don't do this. So let's review. I apologize if you don't have, everybody doesn't have this, look on with your friend, but if you turn the side, most of you should have the review of this, which generally is helpful, even though generally not spelled correctly. So I showed you what the hot plate looks like. This is a perfect example of what a hot plate should look like, in that, except for the fact that it's missing a plug, it is consistent with the way that hot plates look, in that there is no adjustment here. Many authorities have been placing food on an electric hot plate, good, which does not have an adjustable temperature setting, even without fulfilling conditions of chazara. Right? If you look at the halachas of chazara, I'm sure you know already, it is almost impossible. Chazara, when we talk about chazara, that's like the camp shaila, I always said. What I mean by the camp shaila, I don't know if this happens here, but in another camp that I went to, of course, illegally, we're not allowed to mention the name according to my contract, but in that camp, there used to be Friday night chillant in the kollel there. Friday night chillant is that they took this pot that was larger than my child sitting over there, and larger maybe than one of you, and they served the chillant, but they were serving that chillant on Shabbos. How do you do that? That's the dinam of chazar that we know and love. Very difficult, right? You have to hold it, you have to take it off, you know, with the intention, all those different things, can't fall on the floor, all those amazing things. As it turned out, as years passed, many rabbis were not a big fan of it. I believe Rabbi Willig, especially, one of the problems with the pot was so large that the only way to dish out the chillin was leaning it on the floor a bit. And he felt that was a problem within itself, and apparently they stopped us. Besides what he felt to be the biggest problem, which I didn't understand at all, he said it's pashut 100% geneva, because we were stealing the chillin from the kitchen. It wasn't a legal, even though everybody knew about it, I don't know, the claim was is that it was done illegally. I don't know. I generally say that whenever it's chulin, it should be mutter. The chulin have to. Right. Well, we're going to try to get a barbecue tomorrow. So that's what I wrote. However, others say that it is considered like covering fire upon which one may not return food even without the conditions of chazar. So we saw, this is a review, different tshuvas. We saw the tshuva, we just saw the tshuvas in Rav Moshe, ruled that it's permissible to cook on a particular electric hot plate. One may heat up already warm food on Shabbos if it only has one setting. Rav Moshe says this, as we saw, in two places at least, and he permits chazar on a blech if the food is fully cooked, because it's not used to cook. And being a blech for Shabbos, it serves as a reminder that it's Shabbos. That's the whole point. You'll see it in Shabbos. We saw. Well, I probably quote. No. So we saw that Tzitz Eliezer, you know, I mean, come on, right? He didn't say that. I'm saying that. But the Tzitz Eliezer said, if you really want to be machmer, right? If you want to summarize and you really want to be machmer, so you would have to do two things. You have to cover the plug and write on it Shabbos or something, right? Again, I've never seen anybody do that, but that's what he says according to Rosi Beis and Frank. What? What?
I've seen other people put like a box.
Yeah.
That's a Shabbos
cover. Yeah.
Also, the Shabbos.
I'm not using the Shabbos cover. Is that the hot?
No. Also the yeah, that goes over the thing you say. Yeah. I thought that was just a general thing that people do just so they don't fall. You're right. So I guess okay. And number two, yeah. If you wanted to keep Rav Moshe's, so I'm sorry, Rav Shlomo Zalman, you would do the upside down pan. Number two. Rav Moshe responds to a question regarding electric hot plates in general, which only has one setting, by discussing one that cannot reach cooking temperature. Does he permit all electric hot plates with only one setting? Rabbi Eider was a famous, he has this little compendium called the Laws of Shabbos. I don't know if you ever saw it before. He has a bunch of things. Rabbi Eider also just passed away almost a year ago, where he has, it's called the Laws of Shabbos. And there, in his responsum, was addressed and understood that Rav Feinstein that way. Meaning what? It would be mutter. The Shabbos kitchen, Rav Simcha Bonim Karim, also rules that one may place dry food on a electric hot plate with only one setting based on Rav Moshe Feinstein's hat. The reason why I quote this is that there are posts who say, we read the tshuva wrong, the first tshuva that we read in Rav Moshe. And that Rav Moshe didn't allow it. He did have problems with it. And both of them in their svarim say that that's not true. We saw the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa, which said that electric hot plate is like a cup of fire. One may not return food on it without fulfilling the conditions of Chazara. Rosh Shlomo Zalman felt that his actual cooking is done and therefore it resembles cooking. And therefore, Rosh Shlomo Shabbos doesn't say this. Again, in the Shmir Shabbos on the top, he seems to matter it. On the bottom, in the footnote, he said that Rosh Shlomo Zalman had a problem with this. The way we got around that is the upside down pan on top of it. I'll give you a little bit of gravy, and I quoted two other tshuvas here. The Sefer Yashiv Moshe, Rav Tversky, says that in the name of Rav Yashiv, who he asked, and the Shemus Tshuvas, Avnei Yeshefa, are strict because the platter is sometimes used to cook. This is what we said in Rav Moshe's tshuva. I'm not sure that means that, I'm not sure if the world says that the Velt Gepaskind that Rabbi Eliyashiv held that the platter is also. I wasn't aware of that. When I moved to Israel, I understood that that was what everybody used. Again, just so you understand, we are going against a very important potential isser, and that is that you're supposed to have hot food on Shabbos, right? We don't be like the Karaites. And therefore, we got to figure it away. I have a friend who had a family minhag. He's a German Jew, and their family minhag was to eat cold food on Shabbos. I never understood this. So he said that, what about the cat, right? So he said, yeah, that's the minhag to have chillin. So we always had cold food and chillin. Because the problem is my family doesn't chillin. So I remember going there for Shabbos, and everything was cold. It was a very surprising... I did not go back. I didn't know. Right? And then the week after, the guy didn't have air conditioning. No, fine. So, and lastly, Rav Avadya Yosef, in Chazon Avadya, holds that since chazara is only forbidden as it looks like cooking on a plata, which isn't used for cooking, so it should be permitted for chazara. Again, this is not perfect English, but chazara is only forbidden because it looks like nirakim bevashel, and a plata is not that. So again, Rupa de Poiskim, in my opinion, hold that this is 100% mutter. And as I said, we get a little bit backwards. Maybe I should have started with everything that's more problematic. It's going to be our easiest way to wrap ourselves around what should be mutter and what should be aser. In my opinion, not my opinion, in the Poiskim's opinion, it's probably the best way to go ahead and heat up food on Shabbos day. Just one last caveat about one other thing that comes up a lot, and that is the shaila about what defines liquid. So obviously, if I told you soup, you're going to tell me obviously soup is a liquid. However, sometimes you have things that are liquidy. I'll give you two examples that are important. One, thank you very much. That was exactly the example I was going to give. Meatballs. Meatballs is a salad, but it has a lot of sauce. The second example is chicken. Chicken, surprisingly, may look lovely to you. You put it on the fire, and all of a sudden, you take it off, you go, oh my God, I violated Nisus D'oraisa, and you start, you know, giving yourself makas, because there's all of a sudden liquid in it. Or, along the same lines, the chicken that has gel on top of it. You understand what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah, it's the chicken fat.
Right, it's the chicken fat. So what do you do there? So, most poskim say that anything that is liquidy, like meatballs, that has a liquid, thick sauce, even if that sauce right now is congealed a bit, that's considered to be a liquid. And that cannot be reheated on Shabbos. There is only one shita I've seen in my history of seeing shitas, quoted in the name of Rav Yosef Adler, of TABC fame and Rinat Yisrael fame, who said that he heard from Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal, that any food that is eaten with a fork, that is defined as yavesh. If you eat the food with a fork, it's yavesh. Therefore, meatballs...
You can have it either.
What?
Some people have it or some people have it.
Yeah.
He said the name of the
rub. Well said, well said. He said that this is what the rub said. Listen, quite honestly, I'm sorry I'm putting this on Wayu Torah, but there are other things that Rabbi Adler said that also people have problems with, you know, whether or not the rub said it or not. He claims that this, he heard the rub say it. We have to abide by that because we want to continue to recruit in TABC. But Rav Schechter felt that he never heard that. He doesn't know what's going on over there. Rav Soloveitchik, by the way, had a whole unique sheet on Chazara. You know, he allowed things in Rabbi Willick has a wonderful sefer on Hilchos Bishul. It's a new sefer that came out recently, published by YU a few years ago. And there he speaks about there's a whole section there on this Rav's Shita, what exactly it is, but it's not for now, but putting the food on an Erev Shabbos, and you could put it back in the Chazara. In any case, you should just be aware of that. Again, normative halacha says liquid is liquid. If it has a sauce on it, it has a sauce on it. However, things that might have a sauce on it, a little bit of sauce, that's not problematic at all. So you know that the chicken's going to heat up. It's going to. There are poskim that say that chicken in itself might be a problem because there's marrow in the bone. Apparently, maybe somebody once quoted, I think it actually was Rav Goldbach, I learned with him once, that there is a problem with it, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, maybe because there's marrow in the bone. The marrow. I don't know. Most normative poskim, the normative halacha, say that in fact it's not a problem. And you can heat up chicken, even if it has a little bit of sauce, that's not considered to be a sauce. We had in the yeshiva, in the beginning of the year, a person who came in for Shabbos who was serving food. And he was very yeshivish. And on Shabbos morning, he called me to the kitchen because he didn't care about my davening. And he said, I have a problem. I said, what's your problem? He says, I can't heat up any of your food for Shabbos. I said, why? He said, first of all, he didn't like the way the hot plate looked, even though it was covered. He thought the covering was too thin because he was, you know, all but 25 years old and a poisik. And number two, the potato kugel had a little bit of ice on it because it had been frozen previously. Whoops, I said that. And it came out of the freezer probably, you know, Friday morning or something, or Thursday night, and it still had ice, which meant that once you heat it up, there's going to be a little bit of water, you know, that seeps out. So, being the nice person that I generally am and tolerance I have, especially for 25-year-old Haredim, I told him that he is a Amaretz, and that in fact, one second, and in fact, this is not correct what he said. And I quoted him many different things, and he looked at me like I was absolutely crazy because I have no beard, and he did, and that was that. And after Shabbos, he wrote us a whole scathing email on he doesn't know how this yeshiva exists, and so on and so forth. I decided in the best way possible not to respond to him, and I thought it was a little bit funny because in my history of doing a little bit of kashrus in the yeshiva, so a number of things have come up where vendors have said to us, you're the first person to be makbid on this. I'll give you an example. We have Shabbos toilet paper in the yeshiva, and I found that a lot of the Shabbos toilet paper, it's a weird thing, but they're actually attached to each other. So this is like the famous thing with the Baruch Hashem, hopefully not this. Yeah, this is perfect. This is Uzzer and Shabbos, right? Right, because it's attached to each other. Now this is done. This is done. Why is this done? This is done because it helps it go up. That might be. Let me just see if this was a fluke. Yeah, it looks like it was a fluke. Yeah, very good. Okay, fine. Baltasha. So this was on one of our toilet papers. Was like this. And when I found out, so it turned out they didn't want this to be like this. But what happens? After a number of times when they cut it, a little part of the knife becomes dull. So he said, we're the only yeshiva that complains. Everybody else is ripping it on Shabbos. I said, I don't really care. Turn it. I asked for something on the box that says Shabbos toilet paper. This is in Shabbos toilet paper. So we've had many times also with different, with hechshers and meats and this and that. Oh, you don't care what other yeshivas do. So you should be aware what is considered to be lach and yavesh. Yeah. So we have very machmir views, I think, Baruch Hashem. So that's a very good, I think, overview of the hot plate. Again, just to give you the ending of the beginning, in case you decide to leave the kollel, this is probably the best form of heating food up on Shabbos, and I think it's very important to consider the fact that we should be heating food up on Shabbos in the proper way. We should have hot food as part of Onig Shabbos, which is a mitzvah, and I think that that's, Roy and proper in this inyan that hot plates are probably from your top items to use on Shabbos. Again, the only shita we saw that it would be against this would be Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, potentially Rabbi Yoshev. But other than that, it seems to be a normative shita to use hot plates on Shabbos.